You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast. I'm Holden Kushner. During today's show, we'll revisit the best conversations from this week on our show. We're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate Triple Play, which is where my co-host and I discuss three topics that interest us. I'm going to start off the podcast discussing Dallas Keuchel's comments about the Houston Astros' trade deadline inactivity with J.P. Arencibia. LaTroy Hawkins and I got into Yu Darvish tipping his pitches on the night the ace made his Dodgers debut. Finally, Jeff Nelson and I wrap up the Triple Play discussing which teams will be active before this year's waiver wire deadline wraps up.
The MLB At The Plate Triple Play.
JP, let's get into something that I thought was fascinating today. Dallas Keuchel, we'll hear his comments. Again, the Astros just did nothing at the trade deadline. And listen, their offense is still humming, even though you've got the two best hitters outside of Altuve, Springer and Correa on the DL. Their starting rotation, I thought Fires and Morton coming along here has really helped out Keuchel and McCullers at the front end. But something that you may not realize if you're listening right now is their bullpen was great in April. They had a 2.91 ERA. In May, respectable 3.88. But in June, it went up to 5.14. And this past month, their bullpen ERA was 6.12. And Dallas Keuchel, here's what he had to say earlier today about the team not making any moves at the deadline.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, disappointment is a little bit of an understatement. I feel like a bunch of teams really bolstered their rosters for the long haul and for a huge playoff push, and us just kind of staying pat was really disappointing to myself. I know a lot of the guys feel like we can win in here, and that's a pretty accurate statement, and that's why we built such a great lead. But I think when it comes down to it, it's now it's going to be we're going to win for each other. And that's it.
So the team, as it stands now, is good enough to win the World Series, or at least go to the World Series?
I think we have a good enough team to go to the World Series. And we've pretty much had the same team since spring training. So that was the motto in spring training. We knew we were going to be good. And now that we didn't really do too much at the deadline, It's going to be in clubhouse kind of vibe the rest of the year.
What do you think? Will the team kind of rally around this? And I mean, maybe front office believes you're good enough to win now, or you know, how do you think you'll view it as a whole going forward?
Well, we obviously believe in ourselves, and we believe we're good enough to win now and get to the World Series. It's just good teams can always be great, and great teams can always be legendary. So at the end of the year, we want to be the only ones left, and it's just a little disappointing for sure.
All right, so that's Dallas Keuchel earlier today. The Astros ace not happy of his team not making moves, and I thought he did a good job of not screaming, because to tell you the truth, just watching the video and then hearing it, he was extraordinarily disappointed, and it's almost like players against front office from Dallas Keuchel's mindset. What'd you think of those comments, JP?
Well, it didn't seem like the guys in the background were too upset. They were cracking up and having a good time. Listen, there is times where I think that you have to make a move, and there's times where you can maybe stand pat. And listen, I understand that he could be frustrated that they didn't make a move and that there was a good opportunity to make a move. But also, we've talked about this. You've seen teams make a move and then fall apart and make moves that you thought were going to take them over the top, and it didn't really work. So the Astros have been, you know, the best team in the American League. They're ahead of everybody else. They're a very, very, very well-built team. So I understand the frustration. I get, you know, as a competitor, you want to be better, but I look at that team and go, man, this team is still – I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. We can't – how cool would it be to watch the Astros against the Dodgers? I mean, it's not like we've said, oh, my gosh, now the Astros can't compete with the best teams in baseball. I don't think that's even a close and accurate statement. So I think that's him as a competitor, which I love. He wants to be able to make some moves. But, again, it's not always that easy, and the front office has to be able to calculate, you know, what's the winning towards the losing in making a deal. I'm not so distraught that the Astros didn't make a move.
I wasn't either yesterday. I did do some digging into the bullpen. The bullpen obviously has had some issues as of late, and you could still make moves in August. Okay, there are going to be pitchers that are going to clear waivers. Now, it's going to be tough to get all the way to the Astros because they'll be all the way at the bottom just before the Dodgers, and then that's it. But ultimately, the Astros do have a chance to improve themselves, and they still have the arms. Even though they haven't been putting it together statistically, Davinsky, Giles, there are still some really good arms in that bullpen. I'm not concerned about the Astros. I still think you get into a playoff situation, Cleveland and Houston are going to be the two teams to watch out for. You and I have discussed the Royals. You want to stay away from the Royals. Of course you want to stay away from the Royals. They're not as talented as the other teams on paper, but it's a very dangerous club. And the two teams out east, let's say the Yankees make it, maybe the Rays squeeze in there. The Boston Red Sox, if they get David Price back, then you're talking about a playoff rotation that's scary as hell, especially with Sale going a couple of times in a five-game series and three times maybe in a seven-game series. But the Astros, to me, are still the favorite in the American League as it stands now. I would like to see them do something in the bullpen, and maybe that's what Dallas Keuchel was talking about. Maybe he just saw what the Dodgers did and was hoping that his team would make a move for the sake of making a move.
Yeah, and listen, it's easy to be able to look around the league and say, man, everybody else made moves, and the Dodgers made moves, and they were the best team in baseball. I mean, yeah, I get that. But, again, the team is such a good team, and we've talked about this before, and it always comes back in my head is the Oakland A's, the year that they were in the lead in the AL West, and they made the trade for Samardzija, they made the trade for Lester. All of a sudden, you know, you think, wow, this team really, really just completely ran away with everything in the American League, and they ultimately fell apart. So that's the one thing I always stands very big in my head. So I understand, but I don't think that this team loses anything. This team is still really, really, really well put together. So maybe they had the opportunity. And think about it, they didn't even get rid of – they said about everybody that called wanted Derek Fisher, the outfielder. Think about they kept Derek Fisher. They still have Correa and Springer coming back. All those other guys that they're still winning with that are putting up numbers. I mean, that's almost like picking up a trade because you're getting these guys every day at bats. They're getting better. They're going to be contributors at some point. So listen, you have good players there. I think that team is good enough to win and have an opportunity at the World Series with what they have.
Yeah, normally I would say great pitching is going to be great hitting, but this might be a scenario where the Astros can bash their way through the American League, because you talked about Springer and Correa. Well, Altuve is out there. He's coming off a month where he almost hit, what, 500? he hit 480 something in the month of July. This is a superstar. Gurriel continues to improve. Bregman continues to get better. Evan Gattis can beat the hell out of the baseball. Mariznick, and I haven't even brought up Marwin Gonzalez yet. It's like, wow, this offense doesn't stop. They do have Keuchel back. They do have to get McCullers back to his form. Fires and Charlie Morton. Again, I'm not as concerned about this rotation as I am now about the bullpen. I understand where the frustration comes from Dallas Keuchel, but come on, man. They put him in a great position to succeed, and they're running away with things in the division. You know, this team, LaTroy, you were playing back in, what, 98? When you saw the Yankees do what they were doing. You were playing in 2001 when you saw the Mariners win 116 games. Now, it's still a long shot, but the Dodgers, to tie the Mariners to win 116, would have to go 41-15. And to get to 117, they'd have to go 42-14. And I'm not putting it past them. Now, it may be an instance where they're resting guys down the stretch, but this team has been that good to where I would not be surprised if they got to 116, 117 wins.
At the rate they're going now, I wouldn't be surprised either, HK. I mean, they're just playing at a different level than everyone else. I mean, everything is clicking. You know the coolest thing about this team? That last year, their nemesis was left-hand pitching. This year, not a problem at all. coincidentally, the reason why they're winning some games because you have those young guys, those young studs that have come up. And, you know, like Bellinger, he's not afraid of just hitting against left-hand pitching. He has no fear. You had your boy Puig playing better this year. I mean, they just got
that is not my boy. Puig is not my boy. He's the opposite. He's not your boy either. He's not either one of our boys.
Not at all. Not at all.
No.
But, yeah, he's playing better. So and pitching-wise, they just added Yu Darvish. I mean, I heard some people saying today, you know, listen to some talk shows, oh, is he a number one still, blah, 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 blah. Hey, I'll take him on my team any day of the week. And, you know, we talked about this whole tipping thing. Man, what he's doing is a very simple fix.
Do you think he was tipping pitches? Chase Utley is the ultimate tipping pitches expert. And he goes back and he tells his team, and, you know, he was asked today, and of course he played it coy and said that he wasn't. But do you think it is just an instance where Darvish is tipping pitches? Because all it was a couple scouts telling a reporter that he was tipping his pitches. The reporter throws it out on Twitter, and then Darvish sees that report and says, hey, thanks. I mean, is that where we've come now, that where you're tipping pitches and they can pick it up that way?
Yeah. I mean, it's always been that way. You know, social media now, though, but it's always been that way. But, you know, HK, every pitcher tips some way, some fashion. Every pitcher does. Johan Santana, the lefty, that's Santana, he tipped his changeup every time. He tipped his changeup. Guess what? Guy still couldn't hit it. Well, reading what Yu Darvish said, when D. Gordon took him deep, he knew something wasn't right because I think he gave up two back-to-back home runs hit to D. Gordon and to Yelich. And he felt something wasn't right because guys were, you know, they took some very good swings. You know, minor adjustment. All he had to do was go out there and, you know, when he's going on a fastball, he pauses slightly before throwing his fastball. When he's throwing his breaking ball, he's quick to get in the glove or the grip on the breaking ball. And, you know, little subtle things like that can be seen. It can be seen. And all he has to do was mix it up a couple of times, and then there you have it. Now you have guys trying to sit. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever tip your pitches all the time, really?
Yes, I tipped. And I made some adjustments over the years. When I first came into the big leagues, I had one finger out of my glove. So when I got ready to throw my breaking ball, my finger would flare out. On my fastball, it would stay in contact with the glove. So what I did is I put all my fingers in the glove. And then I started tipping, when I'm throwing my fastball, my glove is real tight. When I had to, you know, get a good grip on my breaking ball, my glove flared a little bit on my changeup. I had to work through that, you know, through the course of my career. But every guy has had to do something because they were tipping. The best guys, the best organization, St. Louis Cardinals, you watch all those guys where they start at, where they finish at, from the windup and the stretch. They have big gloves, just like Greg Maddux. You can't see them moving the ball around in their glove. Those guys don't tip. So they do a great job with the Cardinals with their pitching, concealing pitches.
The American League wild card is going to be a fun race the whole entire year. You have the Orioles that think they're in it with their move with Hellickson and them not trading anyone. You might see some guys. I doubt if anybody moves in the waiver wire deadline here in August. But you have some real good playoff implication baseball in the American League.
You know, I got to tell you, as far as the waiver trade deals go, you know, Jose Bautista's out there if you're looking for a power right-handed bat. But we just went back and looked at the trade deadline. It is a completely depressed market for position players. I've never seen anything like it. The number one thing in demand was relief pitching. More relief pitchers were traded than any other position almost combined. Then you had starting pitchers. And outside of that, I mean, not much in the way of position players. So I think Bautista will be out there. You'll have Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce could help a team. Jay Bruce is in the middle of a bang-up season. But, man, who needs Jay Bruce right now? Who needs Jay Bruce? Who needs offense? And that's what I'm trying to rack my brain over. It would probably take a major injury for any of those guys to get moved.
Yeah, and it depends on when Jay Bruce goes through waivers, because you put him through, and if he clears, then you have the ability to trade him at any time in the month of August. Now, if he goes through waivers and somebody claims him, you're You have, what, 47 and a half hours, I guess, to try to work out a deal. He's a guy that I think the Mets would want to have a deal for. Now, if you look at Stanton and some of these others, Verlander, the ones with the big contracts, they're going to clear because nobody's going to claim them, because if they claim them, those clubs are just say, okay, you have the whole salary. Take them. You know, and I don't see anybody going out and claiming a Stanton or a Verlander or a contract like that. Jay Bruce can definitely help a team, you know, and I think, like I said, if he goes through waivers earlier, now it's really different. It's weird because the waiver wire, the players get out. It never used to be that way. Nobody had any idea who was going through waivers, who cleared, you know, who has the potential of who claimed who, but now it all gets out. So immediately, August 1st, whoever went through waivers, they're throwing the media or social media is throwing the names out there. So that's a little bit different nowadays than it used to be. But with Bruce, I think he is a guy that can actually help a team. You know, if he goes to the American League, you know, who out there. You look at Seattle, they probably could use a first baseman, but, you know, is he a guy that you want to put at first base every day out there? No. You know, probably not. The Astros, they don't need any help. The Indians, no. The Yankees, unless you're going to play him at first base, and again, he's probably a guy you're not going to want to put at first base. So, yeah, I don't know where he really goes. And then you're talking about the National League. I mean, where is a place that he may help in the National League? You know, I really don't know, but he could definitely help a team. How about the Red Sox? You know, I don't know where they go. Unless you know, Ramirez goes back to first base, but Moreland's done a decent job. So, you know, there's not a whole lot out there. And as far as starters, you know, you had Darvish and Sonny Gray. You had Jaime Garcia. You had a couple small moves, but there wasn't the starting pitching out there to go out and try to, you know, acquire for a team. You know, everybody was bolstering the bullpen because that was the easy way. And, you know, if we don't have the starting rotation, we'll try to shorten the game by adding a couple relievers. And some teams have done that. You know, it just wasn't the quality out there. And as far as the waiver wire, not a whole lot. There's not a lot of movement. You'll see some small moves, but a lot of it's strategic. You know, you'll go and see teams claim guys just to keep them from going to another club.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. You can always pull the player back. Now, the risk you have is you have to take that player's salary on if the other team wants to give him up. I that rarely, rarely happens. The only other guy I could throw out there right now, I guess there's two of them, Irvin Santana, who, to tell you the truth, I mean, five complete games, that to me is a guy that the Twins are going to want to hang on to if they think that they can contend next year. And then Verlander. At this point, you know, Verlander, he got through. They could trade him anywhere. I think it's going to take another injury, and then you start looking at Justin Verlander with an opportunity to be traded, but the fact they didn't deal him already makes me think that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, he had the limited no trade. He would have had to, you know, come up with a list of teams that he would accept a trade to. So I agree. You know, if he wasn't going to get moved, or if he didn't get moved in July, then I doubt he gets moved in August.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Immerse yourself in the world of Heard Well Radio.
Yo.
The only 24/7 streaming radio station that's powered by social influencers and their communities. Come for the best new music, curated by the most influential voices of today, and stay for Heard Well Live, our live specialty program that airs at 3 p.m. Pacific every weekday, hosted by Josh Fisher. Plus, listen in for special contests, live events, and playlists curated for every moment of your day. From us to you, this is Heard Well Radio. Listen for free on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here is your host, Holden Kushner.
There were 15 games on Friday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking. Also number 8 with 39, Chase Utley. Most multi-home run games this season. Giancarlo Stanton has the most with 8. Cody Bellinger has 6. And Stanton now has 8 home runs since the All-Star break, tied for most in baseball with Joey Gallo, J.D. Martinez, and Justin Smoke. Jacob DeGrom had a stolen base. He singled and stole a base off of Yu Darvish tonight, one of 3 hits that Darvish gave up. First Mets pitcher with a stolen base since Oliver Perez in 2008, and he's the second pitcher with a stolen base this season. The other pitcher was John Lester. That is a great stat right there. And Jaime Garcia, he started for his third team in the last 15 days, shortest span all time between a start for three different teams. And the last time a pitcher started for three different teams in three consecutive starts was way back in 1895. So there you go. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily five-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard on the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.